Pastor Shalee, we just started this past week a 40-day prayer challenge here at Focus Church based off the book Draw the Circle by Mark Batterson.
Yeah, it's been so fun to see. Even just in the last 6-7 days, we have gotten to see people praying. We've watched people on Facebook write things that they're learning. And one of the women in our church has been writing little post-its. I love seeing her little post-its of all the little nuggets of things she's been learning from her devotional. And it's been fun to see people praying.
It really has. And the idea is that we are celebrating as a church our 50th year, a 50th year celebration that this church has been doing something in this community. And we really felt that as we were praying about what does our future hold here for Focus Church, that we needed to start the 50th year with a focus on prayer. And in order to pray better, we need to be taught how to pray. That's what the disciples asked Jesus, say, hey, teach us to pray. And so that's why we're going through that. But we also had this other idea that not only should we be doing a devotional and doing this challenge, which, by the way, is it too late to sign up?
It's not too late to sign up. If you haven't started the challenge with us, we want you to do it. You can just go on the Church Center app and tell us, hey, I want to be doing the challenge with you guys. You can get on the wait list. All the books, we handed out 50 books. Awesome.
50 families are doing
it.
This with us, but plus even more than that. Yes,
plus them on the wait list. You can sign up. You can start right where we are right now, or you can catch yourself up over the last 6 days and hang.
But we have a prayer journal for them, too.
We do. So if you want a prayer journal, you can pick one up at the front desk right when you're exiting the building. There's a prayer journal there. We want you to be journaling. And we'll talk about that some more in this service today.
Yep. Well, now, there's also this thing that sometimes when it comes to prayer, you just need a reason to pray. And so we're creating a reason to pray every single day by setting an alarm on our phones for either 7:14 a.m. or 7:14 p.m. And that's based off of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that God's going to hear that. And so we're saying we're going to pray, and someone from Focus Church is going to be praying every 12 hours. And people are choosing a.m. or p.m.,
yes,
setting their alarms.
Some are choosing both. It's kind of fun to see people doing both things, but it is getting you in the habit of praying. In fact, last night we were in our car. We were headed out to dinner after Saturday night service. We had an extra teenager with us in our car, and his alarm went off. My alarm went off. Riley's alarm went off. Like, all the alarms are going off in our car.
My alarm didn't go off because I picked the morning
one. You do the morning, yeah. And a lot of times you're doing stuff at 7:15, 14 at night. So that alarm went off, and this teenager just right out of the mouth, he's like, hey, are we praying out loud or silently? Like, there was not a question, are we praying? Here we are in the car together. But he was like, are we praying out loud or silently? And everybody chose to pray out loud, and everybody took turns praying. And it was just kind of a cool thing to see our teenagers are praying. We're doing this as a family. It's fun to see our kids getting into it. So we are encouraging you, do the devotion as a family, write down prayers, say a prayer at 7:14 a.m. or p.m. and just
or
have
both.
A good time.
Some people are doing times. Both. Yeah. So if you haven't already set your alarm on your phone, go ahead and pull out your phone right now and set an alarm. Alarm for 7:14, choose a.m. or p.m., but don't make the mistake that I made this week. I set my alarm for 7:14 a.m., and it went off the next day, and I prayed, and you don't have to pray for like 30 minutes, just pray. And if you're driving down the road, don't close your eyes. You can talk out loud with your eyes open.
Yeah, God will still hear you, even if your eyes are open.
Yes, gotta be safe. But the mistake I made was the next day, I'm looking at my clock, and I'm like, 7:13, I got to get ready to pray. My alarm's about to go off. And then 7:14 happened. My alarm didn't go off. And 7:15, like, my alarm didn't go off. Like, what happened? And I forgot that you got to put, like, a recurring alarm. Every day it needs to go. Yeah. I just set it for one day.
One day, yeah. One day. No, you got to push the recurring button.
I still prayed, but now I fixed my alarm. So don't make the mistake that I made with this.
Yeah, but hit recurrence.
But this whole idea of this draw the circle is based off a work by Pastor Mark Batterson. And he also wrote, it's also based off another book he wrote called The Circle Maker. And sometimes when it comes to this, we thought, while we're doing this as a church family, that maybe we should do something different in our services. So it's not normal that you and I are both here at the same time talking, and it's kind of weird that we have stools and we got stands and we're talking like 50-50 here. But it's something as a response to what we feel like we're supposed to do. And what we feel like we're supposed to do is to continue having a conversation where we learn together, hey, what does it take to pray? Like, how can we change how we pray? And so Shalee and I are going to have a conversation today with each other and with you in regards to, let's dig a little bit deeper into this that will supplement what you're doing with your devos every single day on the 40-day prayer challenge.
Yeah, it's really cool. We're just going to talk and learn a little bit more about prayer. In the devotion yesterday, it actually talked about this story of Honi. And if you were reading the devotion with us, you'll kind of know a little bit of the story. But we kind of wanted to dive deeper into what is the Circle Maker and what is this book based off of?
Yeah, and so this idea, it's based off of something called the Legend of the Circle Maker, and it's actually from an ancient Jewish text that's not in the Bible. But it was recorded about a Jewish sage that lived about a generation before Jesus was born. So this would take place in the 400 silent years in between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And this was a time of a period where God did not speak through prophets. Right. And so it's not recorded. We don't have this time. It's kind of a dark period here before Jesus comes. The very next thing is all these announcements that Jesus is going to be born. But it's this time where no one knows that God talks. Yep. And 400 years is a really long time, Pastor Shalee. Yeah. And if we put it into perspective, because at first glance, it's like 400 years, not that big a deal. But if you put it in relation to how long America has been a country, America's only been a country for 248 years.
Yeah.
And like we're nowhere near yet 400 years. So we're talking a long period of time.
Yeah, and a lot changes. A lot of different people are born. A lot of things are happening. So.
Generations and everything. And so for what was happening this time, we're talking about a time period that's the first century BC. So it's about a generation before Jesus comes. And what has happened is a devastating drought has taken place across the land. Like, it is so great, it's affecting everything. No crops are growing. Like, it's so bad that they believe as a whole generation, everyone's going to die, and that's it. Like, it is that bad.
Yeah, and they didn't have any sprinklers. There were no irrigation system. Like, hey, let's just...
No rain. I mean, nothing.
Yeah, so when they didn't have rain, it was bad.
Well, there is this one guy named Honi, who, although he knew that God has not been speaking, he believed that God was still listening. And so he would constantly talk to God. He would pray to God. And one day, it's recorded that he decided to do something about it. I think he was wearing his do-something shirt that day.
Yep.
And underneath his tunic and everything. And he went outside, and a crowd of people were like, what are you doing, Honi? What's going on? And they followed him, and he had his big, long, six-foot-tall staff with him. He went outside the city where there was some sand in the middle of the drought, and he took his stick, and he began drawing a circle in the sand all the way around him. And when he had finished the circle, he knelt down in the middle of the circle, and he began praying, and he prayed a bold prayer to God. What did he pray?
You know, he said, Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. He is going to stay in that circle for how long?
I don't know. Like, that's a risky prayer.
Yeah.
Saying, like, what if he dies? Like, what if he has to use the restroom? Like,
I've thought a lot of things. Like, what if you get hungry? Like, you're
right.
Just going to stay there?
He's not going to leave. He's like, wait, I mean, but what... I would say he was probably inspired to pray a prayer like this based off of what he's read in their history, that they serve a God who's done miraculous things like parting the Red Sea and sending all the plagues that, you know, with Pharaoh, letting his people go. And I mean, and David and Goliath defeated. I mean, that's all sorts of things have all happened. It's like God does crazy things. And I bet he was even inspired by Elijah, the prophet Elijah, who had the showdown with the prophets of Baal. And there was a challenge to say, whose God is real? And when Elijah prayed to God and said, God, send down fire from heaven to burn this sacrifice that's coated in water to show you're the one true God. And Elijah prayed that prayer and whoosh, it lit
on fire.
Fire came down.
Yeah.
And so Honi, he's inspired by this, and he's saying, I'm in this circle. I'm not getting out of this circle. I'm going to pray. God, send rain.
In fact, we have stories in the Bible that they've prayed for rain to come.
Yes.
And rain came before. So he didn't ever see it because it's 400 years.
Yeah, I mean,
he never saw it with
his
own
eyes. Before his time,
yeah. But he heard about the stories, and I believe you wouldn't draw a circle around yourself and say, I'm not getting out of here, if you didn't believe God was going to do what you prayed for.
Yes. And when he prayed, I mean, can you imagine being in the crowd like, oh, he's lost it. Like, what happens next, you know? But what did happen next is it started sprinkling. Like, raindrops began falling out of the sky. Like, he had just prayed this prayer, and right away, sprinkling. Can you imagine the crowd? I bet they were gleeful. I bet they were like, yeah, yeah, this. But
Honey didn't think that was quite enough.
He knew that a drought needed, in order to stop the drought, there needed to be more than just a sprinkling of rain.
Yeah.
Even though they were all happy. Wow, rain is falling out of the sky. So what did he do next?
He did not just want to sprinkle. Man, he's really bold because he said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns and pits and caverns.
We're talking a lot of rain.
He needed a lot of rain.
A lot of rain in order to get out of a drought. And so as soon as he prayed that prayer, it said that torrential rain began pouring down from the skies. Now, okay, imagine the crowd again. The crowd's like all dancing and like, yeah, it's sprinkling, and like playing in the rain, like you picture in your mind, like, yeah, playing in the rain. But when it's a torrential downpour, you're like getting beat up by rain. And I know we have some weather here in Wisconsin that gets a little crazy, but let me tell you, I've never seen such crazy rain as I experienced in Texas.
Everything's bigger and better there.
Wait.
I grew up in Texas. Shh, it's fine.
I did too. But but their raindrops in Texas are so big. I mean, like, if it is a huge thunderstorm, like, you can't drive, you can't do anything, you hide. Like, it's going to hit. It's gonna hurt you.
It does
hurt. The raindrops are so big.
We've been in a rainstorm like that before, one time on a jet ski. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
We're on a jet ski, and rain was pouring down, and it hurt.
Yes, but in this instance here, it said that the raindrops were so big that no drop was smaller than an egg.
Think about that.
We're talking big rain. Now this would be rain that would definitely solve a drought, but I don't think people are celebrating anymore. And is this what Honey wanted? Was this what Honey was praying for?
Well, not quite, because he's really bold, because he's like, I didn't want the sprinkle, and I don't want this downpour. Instead, he said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, blessing and graciousness.
And then it changed. And a peaceful, calming, steady rain began to fall. Now, if you were there that day, I mean, think about that being the day. The day Honey got into the circle, the crazy guy who prayed to God for rain and God answered. Like, before that day, you would say, you know what? I'm not sure if God still does miracles. But after that day, you've got to be convinced, like, God does stuff. God hears prayers. God answers prayers. Like, your believe meter probably went way up high. Mm-hmm. And that prayer that he prayed that day saved a whole generation. It stopped the drought. And the legend of Honey, the circle maker, is known in Jewish culture as an inspiration to pray bold prayers, that just one prayer can change the whole course of all of history.
Yeah, and it changed the whole course of history. But Pastor Ryan, you know, now it's been about 2,000 years since the Bible was written, and we saw miracles in the Bible, and things happened, and this rain came, and the sea was parted, and all the things. But do you think today God can still do things? Can we pray bold prayers like Honey did even now?
I think we got to wrap our mind around this idea when it comes to bold prayers, that bold prayers actually honor God, and God honors bold prayers, that God isn't offended by you asking for something that only he can do. If there is anything that God would get offended by, I think he might get offended by prayers that don't really even need his help. And we're saying, oh, God, you know, like, thank you for my food. Like, if that's the only prayer you're praying, like, that's not bold. Or what about if you're, you know, praying for, hey, God, I need a parking spot.
Yeah, I pray that.
Wait, what?
I do.
Why?
Well, there's a reason. You see, when our kids were little, we have 5 kids. They were 7 and under, all 5 of them at one time. So, like, actually, 4 of them were 4 and under, and we had a lot of little children. And I used to pray, God, give me a parking spot next to the carts, because I needed to unload, like, car seats into the cart so that I could go in and buy groceries. If you've ever taken 5 little children to the grocery store, you totally understand what I'm talking about, because I needed to put kids in the cart.
I think you might have been a category by yourself on that one.
I'm the only one. No, I'm not. Whatever. I'm not. No, yeah, even if you have 1 kid, you need to be by the cart so you can put them in there, and then they can't run in the parking lot. So okay. I've always prayed for parking spots, and it never really stopped after I had little kids. I was just like, God, give me a good spot. And one time I was in the car with Mandy. She's on staff with us now, but then I barely knew her. She had just come to Christ, and I prayed out loud, God, give us a parking spot. And she just looked at me, and I was like, well, there's one right here. Look how great that is. Well, she had probably known us a few months, and she's riding the car. And every time I just happen to do that, and she's like, looks at me one day and she's like, God really does listen to your prayers. You always have the best spots. So, so we can pray about little things or big things, but you know, I can't get a parking spot all the time by myself, but God helps me. And
but
I think,
you're praying out of a position of boldness saying, yeah. I believe that God will answer this prayer.
Yeah, all the time.
Versus kind of half-heartedly like, okay, God.
If you want to, if you feel like it, if I feel like it.
Yeah. See, the thing is that God is ready and he's waiting to answer prayers. And that no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, you're only one prayer away from having a dream fulfilled, a goal fulfilled, a miracle take place, a promise kept. Like, it's right there, but it requires a prayer. So what does it take to pray a bold prayer?
Yeah, it takes us knowing that God's for us, that he cares about us, that he wants what's best for us, that he is not up there just looking at us going, oh, what can I get him to do today? Or, oh, you know.
No, I think sometimes we think God is like that. We think God is like a hazing God, that he's looking down. He's like, look what they want. Look what I'm going to make them do. I'm going to make them jump through this hoop and this red tape and watch them like really worry for a second. Like, am I going to come through? But that's not what God's like. Like, we've got to grasp this idea that God is for us. Like, he wants to help you. And the proof of that is actually in God's word.
Yeah. In fact, in the Bible, it tells us in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? If you read Psalms 56:9, it says, this I know, that God is for me. 1 Peter 5:7, he cares for you. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Psalms 118:6, the Lord is on my side. And we could go on and on and on about all the scriptures that God's saying. He is for you. He wants what's best for you. He loves you. In fact, he sent his son to die for you because he loves you and he is for you so much.
And that has to be a foundational belief in order for us to pray. That if we don't believe that God is for us, anything we pray is going to be a timid prayer. That it's going to be like, maybe if you want. But if you do believe and you have this foundation to say, God is for me, then that is what's needed to be able to pray boldly. To say, God, this is what I need.
And we can pray boldly and say, God, this is what I need. Give me a brand new truck, 2024 style.
It'd be right? 2025.
Oh, is that new? Sorry. I'm not a car person.
But you know what? I'm glad you're bringing that up because a lot of times when it comes to prayer, we read in the Bible where Jesus himself is saying, hey, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And we look at something like that. It's like, oh, all I have to do is ask and God's going to give it to me. So God, I need $1 million. Right?
God, I'm going to knock on this house door. Just give it to me. I've got it. Name
right.
it. Proclaim
I
it.
I want to win the lottery without having to buy a ticket. Like, God, if he can do anything. I mean, like, just, mm-hmm. and what this is actually a false doctrine related to prayer that has a nickname known as this, a name it and claim it type mentality. That you're saying, oh, if you just believe God for a new airplane, you'll get a new airplane. And if he's not giving you a new airplane, you just don't have enough faith. So you got to say, I'm claiming it. And it's wrong. Because on one level, we look at this and we say, okay, when we pray, we're asking God for something, but we're selfish people. And I don't believe the intent is that we would be praying selfish prayers. But rather, if we are spending time talking to God, then God will talk to us. And what happens is a relationship forms. And remember last week, we talked about how when the disciples said, teach us to pray, Jesus gave an example of what to pray for. We refer to it as the Lord's Prayer, but it's a model. And one of the pieces of that model is to pray for God's will to be done. Jesus didn't say, pray for whatever you want, whatever you need. Like, that's not what he said. He said, pray for God's will to be done. And so if we are following that model and saying, God, we need you, like we need your will to be done in this situation we're at. What you're praying for is you're praying for him to do what he wants. Mm-hmm. And that's not selfish in nature.
No.
And so we're not saying, hey, I want a yacht. I want a beach house. You know, I want $1 million. Those are selfish things. Instead, the more we have a relationship with God, the more his heart becomes our heart, the more we want his will to happen. And so we pray for his will. We pray for what God wants.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ways to pray the things that God wants.
Yeah.
In fact, there's some things that we need to draw circles around, and that is things that we need to pray about.
So Honey drew a circle, put himself in, and said, I'm not leaving the circle until God sends rain. So what would be some things that we could put in our circle, if we were to draw a circle today?
I think one of the best places to start is praying scripture. And there's promises throughout scripture that God gives us that are for us. And so to circle those scriptures and say this promise that's in the Bible is for me and to pray that is a great place to start.
Yeah, I mean, just to use an example of that, speaking to some parents in here, sometimes the biggest hurt we experience as a parent is when a kid wanders from God. And we don't know what to do. We don't know how to deal with this. And we're like, but only God can. But his word says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Well, that is a promise from God with an if-then statement. If you do this, train them up, they will not depart. Okay, so we can take that promise, that scripture, put it in our circle saying, I'm claiming that. I'm not going to get out of the circle believing God for this until it happens and believe that God's going to come through for my child. That is putting a promise from God in the circle.
Yeah, and you can just believe that God's going to do what he says he's going to do in scripture. Also, there's promises that the Holy Spirit gives us. So there's things that God reveals to us when we're praying that are dreams for us, that God has for us, and we can circle those things.
Right. I mean, many times, both Shalee and I, as we lead this church, we share with you that God is telling us this is what we're supposed to do as a church. And that comes out of a time of prayer. But even when God tells us, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, we've got to be intentional about keeping that in a circle. So God told us that we're going to have a house that impacts foster care. And so a miracle happened, and we got a house. And then a miracle happened, and we were able to remodel it. And now we're at a point where, well, this is for young adults formerly in foster care to be able to get towards having permanent housing, but we're in need of residents. Like, we don't have any residents, and we can sit back and say, well, we tried. We did the best we could. Or we can say, you know what? God told us to do this, and so we're going to take God's will that he shared with us, put it in a circle, and pray, not just Shalee and I praying, but as a church family, this is something we can put into the circle and say, we're going to pray until this comes through, because this is God's will, not ours. It's God's idea. It's God's dream, not our dream, and we're going to make sure it happens, praying for impacting young adults.
Yeah, and we just keep praying the circle around
that.
We also can pray for impossible situations, things that if God doesn't intervene, it can't happen.
Yeah, and that happens more often than we realize all around us, that there's nothing we can do, nothing in our power. And like for our family, we have an impossible situation that has come up that we can't do anything about.
Yeah, we do. My sister has cancer. She's been getting treatments, but she is going to have surgery in November, and there's nothing that we can do about it, but we know that we serve a God who heals, and he does miracles, and although the doctors don't always have all the best things they can do, God does miracles, and so we're believing that for my sister, and you guys can believe that with me, too.
We can put that in a circle.
Yep.
Saying we're going to pray until God does something.
Yeah.
Yeah, impossible situations. But sometimes there's impossible people in our lives that we need to put into a circle.
Yeah, impossible people. That's a really interesting one. Have you ever met somebody that's impossible? Like you're like, oh, God's telling you to do something. There's a billboard flashing for you, basically, saying stop doing whatever this is you're doing. But they keep doing the thing and you're like, it's just impossible to get through to them. People might have thought when I said impossible, they're like, oh yeah, those people that like are impossibly rude.
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about people who are just not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and and you just can't get through to them. And I mean, I can think of a few people in my life that, like, it doesn't matter how much I try to point them towards God, or they're experiencing tragedy after tragedy, setback after setback, and it's all rooted from them not getting right with God. Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on, you know, follow Jesus and those things will get fixed. Like, you're going to continue being in the cycle, but we can take those people and we can put them in a circle saying we're going to pray for them. Yep. And we're going to stay in the circle and pray for them until
God changes them.
Also,
we can put life goals into the circle.
Yeah.
So life goals could be something like, hey, I know that God called me to be this profession and do this thing, and things keep messing up for me, or I haven't gotten the job that I wanted to. We can put those life goals in the circle and pray, hey, this is where I want to be in life. This is where God has me wants me to be, and I can just keep asking for that.
Especially if they're God-honoring.
Yeah.
Like if they come out, like they, God hasn't called us all to be pastors or presidents of the United States, but God has called you to what you're at, and God does lay dreams and revolve plans to us, and we can give those to God and work towards them. But Pastor Shalee, I'm thinking that we might need to stick our marriage, our relationship in the circle.
Our marriage?
Well, maybe. It's already in the circle.
We've it's always been in the circle. Always, we do.
But, you know, even though we've made it 26 years proving it is possible to get this far, we're not guaranteed the next 26 years.
No. We just keep it in prayer.
We constantly have to take relationships in our lives, and we need to put them into the circle and be praying for them. And that's a relationship with your marriage. That could be a relationship with a child, with a grandparent, with a relative. That's even if you don't have someone yet, and you're like, I would like to be in a relationship. You can take that situation, put it in your circle, say, God, I'm not going to settle for just anyone. I want who you have for me, and I'm going to pray for that, and so that I will know that you, God, you would do a miracle in my life in this area.
Yeah. And it could be with a relationship with a best friend or something. Like, maybe you're feeling lonely and you need a friend. You can put that in the circle and say, hey, God, I need somebody who I can talk to who is going to be a believer with me, and you can put that relationship in the circle.
Definitely. But when we talk about this, we're kind of talking about this concept and using phrasing about circles and learning about an old sage named Hani. We're talking about extra biblical information, not in the Bible. But if we're going to do something, we're going to change how we communicate with God based off this example. We need to have some biblical examples of that this is what God wants us to do. And where do we see that?
Yeah, so if we go to Joshua chapter 6, God has the Israelites, they've been away from the promised land. He promised Abraham 400 years before that they were going to go into the promised land. And now they're there, they're standing at the promised land, but there is a problem because they want to go take over the land, but Jericho, this walled city, is standing in the way.
Like, until they conquer the city, they're not occupying any of this land. And if you know anything about strongholds, about castles or anything, I mean, they're the most fortified thing you could ever go up to attack. Like, you can't do a frontal assault on a castle. And I've studied this. This is something I've loved all growing up, is studying, you know, siege warfare and everything. And really, the only chance you have is to surround them, lock them in, and just wait them out and don't let them leave. And so until they run out of water and food, and like, that's the only way to get through, unless you can build a big wooden horse and hide a bunch of guys in it and then say it's a gift and then you can get inside the walls. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I heard a Trojan horse, yeah. But, I mean, like, it's hard to get into a walled city to go defeat who's inside. And the Israelites at this point, the Israelites are not a trained army. So they're only two generations out of leaving Egypt as slaves, that their parents did not get to go into the promised land. Now it's a new generation, but they've spent the prior 40 years wandering a desert that was not army training ground. Like, they're not the best warriors. They're not prepared to do a frontal assault to scale the walls, or they don't have catapults to launch big boulders to knock down the walls of Jericho. Really, what are they going to do? And when you're facing something impossible, but you believe that God's promise is on the other side of this, where should you turn?
Well, they did exactly what they're supposed to do. Joshua turned to God. And he said, God, what do you want us to do? Mm-hmm. And when we're facing impossible situations, this is not necessarily the answer we always want, because God said, go walk around the city. Walk around the city for 6 days one time, and on the seventh day, walk around seven times.
Okay, that sounds boring.
Boring.
Like, I'm not sure how.
He's like, frontal assault, let's go.
I mean, they're walking around, and they're supposed to be quiet.
Yeah.
Okay, now, mind you, you're walking around a walled city. Do you know what's on top of the wall? They're soldiers. They got spears. They probably got bows and arrows. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like,
I'm a little nervous by this point, I think, I'm walking around.
If you follow VeggieTales at all, they have Slurpees they're throwing over. It's they're walking around the walls. That doesn't sound like a great strategy at all. But God was having them circle what has been promised. And to walk a total of 13 times around the city, being quiet. And then at the end of the 13th time, they would blow their trumpets and shout as loud as they can, praises to God. And when they did that, the walls fell. Now, I read somewhere that someone was trying to do a study that if you got 1 million people together and they yelled at the top of their lungs, that it would reach such a decibel level that it could take apart the molecules that are in brick. And they were trying to explain by science that, oh, this could happen because of volume. And I mean, it's like being in those stadiums that they have the records for how loud they are for football games, right? But really, they couldn't come up with it. Like, this is a situation that only God came through because they did what God told them to do, and they did it by circling what God had promised. They circled. The promise was inside, and they didn't stop. And so after the end of 13 times, God fulfilled the 400-year promise, and they were able to enter into the promised land.
So, yeah, they had the promised land. Jericho was that city that they needed to take down. What is your Jericho? God has promised us so many things and so much things, but what are some things that you need to pray? What is the thing that God has promised you that you need to start circling? Because God might have given you a promise and you, God told you to do something, and then you just were like, okay, God, I hear you, but...
You did nothing with it.
Yeah, like, or this other way seems way more logical. Like frontal assault seems a lot more logical than walking in circles.
I mean, like it would have made more sense if God said, okay, Joshua, here's what you're going to tell everybody to do. Walk around, but they're going to be the distraction while you got a tunneling team that's going under, and you're going to load up with a bunch of C4 underneath the walls, and then you need 7 days in order to get the tunnel down deep enough to get... But that's not what the plan was. The plan was circle, and then let God do what he can do, what only he could do. And for us, when we're identifying our Jericho of what it is that we have... we've got to first identify what the Jericho is. That a lot of times that we have this problem when it comes to prayer is that we don't get what we want simply because we don't know what we want.
Yeah. If we don't know what we want, we can't ask for it.
Right. If we've never circled God's promises and said, God, I'm praying that promise and believing for it. If we've never written down a list of life goals, if we've never defined success for ourselves, if we've never said, God, I'm not leaving this circle until you come through in this area because that's what we know you want.
Yeah. Many of us, instead of drawing circles, we just draw blanks because we haven't ever put it down.
Yeah. And speaking of what do you want, it's really cool if we were to fast forward to the New Testament. In Luke chapter 18, there's a story that while Jesus was on this planet, that Jesus was actually at Jericho. Jericho was part of the promised land and was a part of Israel. And Jesus had traveled there and he's doing ministry there and everybody knows him. Can you just imagine a celebrity coming to town and they got the Secret Service and they're watching everybody and they got the snipers on the roofs and everything and just making sure everything's okay, right? And as the Bible says in this chapter 18 of Luke, that he's walking out of the city of Jericho. And when he walks out of it, by the gate, there's a couple of beggars. They're blind. And they start yelling out because they hear that Jesus, they're like, what's all the commotion? What's happening and everything? And they're like, hey, Jesus is here. They're like, whoa, Jesus, the miracle worker? And they're like, oh, maybe he'll do a miracle for us. We got to get his attention. Hey, Jesus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. And they're yelling and they make a commotion. And the Secret Service and the disciples, they're like, shh, hey, like no commotion. He's busy. Like he's moving. He's got a place to be, you know, things to do and important people to see. And they just don't stop. They're making a commotion, and they get Jesus' attention, and Jesus stops, and he goes to these guys. And what does he say?
He says, in verse 51, it says, what do you want for me to do?
Now, that seems like a really dumb question. Mm-hmm. Because these guys have been blind. It would be obvious that they are blind. And anyone who lives in Jericho knows these guys always camp out at this one corner, at this gate. They know what, like the crowd, they know these guys and they know what they need. The guys who are blind, they know what they need. And Jesus, isn't he God? Doesn't he know everything? I mean, he even says it himself. The Father knows what you need even before you ask for it. So why would Jesus say, what do you want me to do for you? It doesn't make sense.
No, but he wanted them to ask. He wanted them to verbalize the need and ask and say, this is what I need from you.
I don't know if I like that, Pastor Shelley. I mean, that seems kind of silly. Like, the God of the universe, he already knows everything. Why should I have to say it out loud? Why did these guys who are blind, who obviously want a miracle, who obviously need their blindness healed, Jesus can do it, why do they have to say it? It's kind of hard to comprehend this, but then, Pastor Shalee, you mentioned earlier about that you have all this experience with young children and you have to have strats and everything about how to deal with them, right? And you had this strat about parking near the shopping carts to load them from one thing to the other. That makes sense. And we have strats when we raise kids. Anyone who's ever raised a kid, ever been around, maybe you have a niece or nephew that you've been around, and you would know this, that when they're 1 year old, they have trouble communicating. And so the communication is more like,
It's more like,
And then as an adult in their life, you start saying, oh, do you want something to eat? Do you want me to pick you up? Do you want to play? Do you want to go over there? What do you want to do? And we're driven by trying to figure out what does the child want? And all they do, And it's cute and it's cool. It's a lot of fun. I love the one-year-olds in my life right now. Mm-hmm. Like, they're fun to play with and figure out what they want. But if a kid gets to age three, and a three-year-old's going around, as a parent, we're like,
Use your words.
Mm-hmm. We're like, I'm not going to guess what you want. We want you to grow up.
Yeah, and sometimes it's more like,
Yeah,
that's what they
louder.
Do. Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And we're like, we don't tolerate it because we're designed to help children grow up, even in the relationship and how to interact with their parents, to say, hey, communicate, use your words to express what you're feeling, to express what you need. That's what part of growing up is. And I think when we can come to agreement of, yeah, we do this, like three-year-old, we're not tolerating. Mm-hmm. I think God's the same way of with us. That he's saying, hey, we're in a relationship here, and in order for this to be a relationship, you're gonna have to use your words. You're gonna have to ask. You're gonna have to be able to express what you need, identify what it is you're actually asking for. And so Jesus made these guys verbalize out loud, God, I want to see. Okay?
And then he healed them.
And then he healed them.
Mm-hmm. They saw.
They did. But I think there's a principle at play here about this whole identifying and communicating to the God of the universe, this is what I need, being able to say it out loud using your words. Now, imagine right now if Jesus was here. All of a sudden, Jesus just walked in the door.
He's here.
He is here. But I mean, like in person.
Like an actual guy
person
standing here.
And we're like, hey, come up on the stage. And we're like, Jesus, this is so cool. And we give him the microphone. He's like, and he says, what do you need me to do for you? Do you think you'd be out in the audience right now go, you know, no, you'd be yelling out, I need help in my marriage. I need help in my finances. I need healing. I'm like, you would be expressing it to Jesus if he was here right now.
Because you know he can do it.
He can do it. And so identifying what we need from God, that for you, Jericho might be spelled healing.
It might be spelled reconciliation.
Mm. It might be spelled salvation for that loved one.
Or it might be spelled provision.
It's always going to be a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
That in different seasons of life, there's always going to be something different that we need. But we have to start somewhere.
Yeah, and a great place to start is that we don't just read the Bible, but we circle promises in the Bible. Sometimes we want to read it and we want to check it off the list. Like, yeah, I read that scripture. It's good. I read my chapter for the day. Yeah, you can check. I did it. But to stop for a second and say, hey, no, I'm going to circle this promise today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to know what I need because I read the word and it said he's going to give me this. And now
this, yeah.
I'm going to pray for this.
Yeah. I think it's important not to just have wishes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that it's like, oh, yeah, I wish God would do this or I want to God. But to actually take what our goals are and to write them down, to take some action with it, to be held accountable, to express out loud by saying, this is what my life-honoring, God-honoring goals are.
Mm-hmm.
To put it down.
Yeah, and maybe not just praying, but like keeping a prayer journal. Mm-hmm. Because when we pray and we write things down, we can look back and say, God answered that prayer for me. It's really powerful when you've prayed something and 6 months later, you can look back and say, that prayer was answered and that prayer was answered and that prayer was answered. But sometimes we pray prayers and we forget that we actually even prayed for that thing.
Right. And so, and that's why we've given out prayer journals. We have a bunch of extra.
Yeah.
If you don't have one of our Focus Church 50-year anniversary prayer journals, ask us at the front desk afterwards. Get a copy. Get a copy for those in your family. Use it.
Yeah, write some stuff down.
Yes.
Pastor Ryan, but I've been praying for like a whole 6 months for something and God didn't give it to me. And I prayed about it and I know it's something he wants. So I'm just, why doesn't he just answer me?
I mean, that's something that affects, I think, everyone who decides they're going to pray and ask God for something. Sometimes we think it's 6 months. There's a time limit that we shouldn't have to pray forever. Sometimes we think we have to pray once.
Oh yeah, I prayed for that and God didn't answer it.
So
yesterday.
Why should I keep on praying? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we already talked about that most of us don't get what we want because we don't know what we want. But I believe there's also this truth that most of us don't get what we want because we quit circling, that we stop, we give up. And we talked about in Joshua chapter 6, this whole battle of Jericho, where God gave instructions to circle a city, and it was weird instructions. One time a day for 6 days, on the seventh day, seven times, 13 total laps around the city. Who knows how large it was? I mean, this was no small thing to be asked to do. But I often wonder, Pastor Shalee, what if the Israelites said, this is silly? I'm not doing this anymore. What if they stopped?
Or what if they just said, my feet are tired? Like, yeah. I'm just weary.
I can't keep going.
It's too much. This is too hard.
Like, surely this is not God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And what if they would have stopped on the 12th lap? Right before an amazing miracle that God had planned all along. They wouldn't get the promised land. They wouldn't get what God has. They wouldn't get to see what God had for them. And if we're not careful, we could quit just short of what God's needing us to do, that we're supposed to pray through this idea of taking what we want, placing it in the circle, saying, I'm committing, like Honi did all those years ago, to say, I'm not leaving this circle. I'm not quitting until I see God come through on this. I'm resolving to pray through this. Whether I see the answer or not, I'm not going to quit.
I think that's a big goal, whether we see the answer or not. And I had a story this week. I was at youth convention with some teenagers, and I was talking to one of the kids.
Did you survive?
I did survive,
okay.
Barely.
Just making
barely,
sure.
Very little sleep when you take teenagers. I was looking at my watch. It was like 1:30 in the morning, and we were at a gas station, you know, buying energy drinks. I was not buying an energy drink, but a lot of teenagers were, so that they could stay up, you know, all night long. So fun. But I was with one particular teenager, and I knew he came here, and his family doesn't come here. He's just a teenager that shows up. In fact, if I pointed him out, he's in the room right now.
Oh.
I was asking him, I was like, how did you end up at Focus? Because I know, like, your parents aren't here. You just came, and I wonder how you got here. And I kind of knew a little bit of the story, but I wasn't 100% sure. And he said, well, really, I came here because one day I was sitting down at my house, and in my head, this thought popped up. My grandma really wants me to be at church. And he's like, I just kept thinking, my grandma really wants me to be at church. And she had passed away a few months before that. And he's like, I just thought I really should be in church. And he told me that he had walked to a church that was really close to his house, and there was only old people there. And he was like, I got to find some teenagers to hang out with. And so he called his mom and said, hey, mom, I know my grandma wants me to be at church. Can you help me find a church? And his mom happened to know Pastor Hope and called Pastor Hope, and Pastor Hope went and picked him up. And that was the first time a couple years ago that he came to church. He's in church all the time. But I can't help to think that his grandma, and I actually also know some other people, were praying for him to be at church. And his grandma never saw this side, where he's here and he's serving and he's at church every single weekend. And I got to be at youth convention where I'm watching him worship and just see. His grandma didn't get to see that because she passed away. But her prayers that she prayed were answered after that time. So we
she
keep
didn't
circling.
Stop.
No.
She didn't quit.
She just kept circling until a prayer was answered. And it might not even be answered in your lifetime, but don't give up praying because it might be answered in their lifetime.
Pastor Shalee, this has been so good having this conversation and just talking about that. And hopefully, even through it, that there's some things that stood out to you. And our plan is to continue this conversation, that we're going to have this over the next several weeks and continue that as we go through the devotional, that we go even deeper and we talk about some more subjects on how to really circle, how to really pray bold prayers, how to really trust God, how to actually see God come through on your behalf, how to really pray that God's will be done. And so we're excited about what God has for us, because we believe that if we remain teachable, all of us, we say, God, you're the master, we're the follower, we're the students, teach us to pray. I believe it's going to unlock so much more, a whole nother level to following God. And we're going to see that all together as a family after 40 days. But for right now, Pastor Shalee, I think there's been some things we've been challenged with through our conversation today. We've been challenged with this idea of, do we even know what we want God to do? What are we circling? Maybe what stood out to you was the idea of, I need to start praying over promises in the Bible. Maybe I need to put impossible people or situations or relationships, and maybe that whole idea of not quitting. And so I think we've got several options today of things that we can grab hold to, saying, that's what I'm changing. That's what I'm going to do different this week. That's how my trajectory changes. But Pastor Shalee, would you close us in prayer? As I believe a lot of us are making a decision to do one or more of these things, to trust God, to stop praying timid prayers, but to pray bold prayers. Let's pray.
God, thank you so much. Thank you that we can come before you and we can talk to you and we can ask you for anything that's your will, God. That we can pray bold prayers and we can talk to you about them and you hear us and you listen and you want to answer. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son to die for us. God, thank you that you want what's best for us. God, I pray that this week that we would pray bold prayers, that we would circle your word, that we would circle scriptures that are your promises for our life, God. I pray that each one of us would choose something to do this week that would change the directory of our lives, God. I pray that we would come before you, God, that you would help us to remember to pray at 7:14 a.m. or p.m., God, that you would just help us to stay in our devotion and that you would help us to write in our prayer journal and let us see the miracles that you're going to do. God, I pray for our whole church body, God, that you would just be with us, that you would continue to help us to grow in this area of prayer, that we would get to know you more, that we would have a relationship with you, and that, God, you would just change our church and each one of us. We thank you and we praise you for it. In your name we pray.
And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, we're going to take the next few moments to pray together a prayer that is the most important prayer that we can pray, and that's the decision, the conversation with God to make him the leader of our lives. You see, the Bible describes that we have all messed up, that we all fall short of God's standard, that we all have sinned. And because of our sin, we can't be with God, that we are going to face eternal separation from God, a punishment, to spend eternity apart from God. And there's nothing that we can do of our own power, of our own accord, to earn forgiveness, to be set free, to have our life changed. But it's not about what we can do. It's really about what God can do. And that the Bible says that God loved you and me so much that he sent his son Jesus to this planet. And he didn't send Jesus to be a good person or example, to be a prophet, to be a good teacher, or to perform some miracles. He didn't send Jesus to start a religious movement. He sent Jesus in a singular, purposeful mission, that he would pay the price with his life and death for our sins, not for his own, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be set free, so that we can be a part of his family, so that we can spend eternity with him in heaven, and we can live life on this earth with hope, with joy, with mission to help other people find God too. God's already done the work through his son Jesus. But then there's something we've got to do. We've got to pray. We got to pray a simple prayer to say, God, I'm sorry. God, I believe you sent Jesus to pay the price for me. We got to pray a prayer of decision. Say, God, I'm going all in. That I'm making you the boss of me. I'm making you the master. I'm making you the leader of my life. I'm just the follower. And it's in that moment we pray that prayer that everything changes. There's a part two to this that we experience today in today's service, that we were not meant to follow Jesus alone, but that we're supposed to do it with other people. And that's why we take this prayer that we're praying here in just a moment. But we go a step further to show people, hey, I made that decision. I made Jesus the leader of my life. And we celebrate that through water baptism at Jesus' command. But right now we're focusing on that all-important prayer. I'm going to help you with this prayer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray this prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud. I'm going to encourage you to pray it out loud, repeating after me. The Bible says it's in our heart that we believe, but it's with our mouth that we say it out loud. God, you're in charge. You're my Lord. But don't worry, you're not praying alone today. Because here at Focus Church, the entire Focus family prays this prayer with us. That we're doing it together. Because this is the most important thing we do at Focus Church. We are focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, let's all pray this prayer right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name.